Today on Sagittarian Matters, high-quality advice on neighbors, life strategies, putting away your laundry, kindergarten, being bullied, and more with my 11-year-old niece, Espy. Stay tuned.
Sagittarian Matters, Sagittarian Matters, what's the
Hello from Los Angeles. Producer Ponyo and I were just traveling to San Francisco and Portland. We are gearing up to go to the East Coast, but I wanted to tell you about some of my favorite things to eat in Portland, Oregon. If you are a vegan, get out a pen and paper. If you love a vegan and you want to take them somewhere nice, get out a pen and paper. Okay, starting with the airport, because you're going to land. I like the Cafe Yum in the airport. There's more of them around. It's a Eugene-based chain, but their tempeh bento is teriyaki tempeh with their weird cheesy sauce, which you wouldn't think would go together, but it does, plus a slaw, and then a bunch of rice. It's great. I love it. Okay, what else do I like? I love going to New Seasons and getting a hot wok as soon as I land. I love going to the by-and-by for a tempeh Reuben or any of the bowls. If you like Old Portland and you want it to still exist, I want you to take your money, and if you want to eat Vietnamese food, go to Pho Jasmine on Killingsworth. It's been there for a million years, and if it goes away, I'm pretty sure the heart of Portland will die. The things I think you should order are salt and pepper tofu, see if they'll add broccoli, and I really like the curry noodle soup, even though their classic pho vegetarian is pretty delicious. They have something really weird there, I want to tell you. Their pad thai has nothing to do with a normal standard pad thai, but I really like it anyway, and it's so greasy. Pho Jasmine. Also, this place is not Old Portland, but they may as well be. Thai Food Cafe. They opened sometime, I don't know, I'm going to say like 2006, 2007, but when you walk in there, you'll be like, oh, this place could have been in Portland in 1996. One of the things that might make you think that are the number of pieces of printer paper taped to the wall with specials sharpied on them. Those pieces of paper have all been there since they opened. It's like that kind of place. They are really weird, they're really delicious, and they understand what a vegan is, and I think they make their own tempeh. My favorite thing to get there is cow soy with tempeh. Cow soy is kind of a curry soup. It has egg noodles traditionally. You can sub those out, and I get it with tempeh because I love it. The best thing about this soup is it comes with pickled greens on top. If you get extra pickled greens, your eyes will roll in the back of your head and you'll be in love. One of my favorite food combinations is a curry or a coconut kind of soup or sauce, mostly a sauce, with some kimchi or pickled greens. It's a combination that I just cannot get over, so that's my favorite thing. A few more recommendations / honorable mentions are the Sudra, which is vegan Indian food, Wolf and Bears, which is an Israeli cart, and Queen of Sheba, my favorite Ethiopian food in Portland, and another old-timey Portland long-standing restaurant that you need to support because if they go away, what is left? What is left but a bunch of condos blocking out the mountains and the trees? You know what I mean? Okay. Thanks for listening, and I hope you have a good week. Today's guest is my 11-year-old niece, Espy. Espy is a Girl Scout, an athlete, and yes, a Sagittarius. She has a guinea pig named Piglet, and in her spare time, she likes to knit hats for her cousin, producer Ponyo. I caught up with Espy while she was on spring break, sitting in Griffith Park, jacked up on taro-flavored bubble tea. She was very gracious and answered questions from my friends on Twitter about life, love, work, neighbors, and more. Please enjoy my talk with Espy. Hi, Espy. Welcome to Sagittarian Matters.
Thank you. Hello.
You are a Sagittarian.
Yes, I am.
Espy is here to answer some advice questions today as she is visiting LA. The first question is kind of a heavy one, but I think you can handle it. Dear Espy, as a 38-year-old woman, it is sometimes hard to find the excitement and joy I had as an 11-year-old. Can you share your current outlook on life? I like the idea of having an 11-year-old life coach.
Well, sometimes adults get worked up over the smallest things. Sometimes you just gotta step back and take a deep breath and just think about what you have and how lucky you are mm-hmm. when you have things. Like
if you lose something?
Uh-huh. Just remember the things that you have and that you're blessed with many things.
I think that's good advice. Do you see adults get worked up over small stuff?
Yeah.
And kids don't really get worked up over small stuff like that.
No, not really.
I see. All right, let's answer some more advice questions. I think that's pretty good advice. I mean, I think when I was your age, I just liked to do the exact same things I do now. Like, I liked to stay home alone and watch TV and make crafts and draw my dog and dress my dog up in clothes. And I'm essentially doing the exact same thing now as an adult. That's what I do. Mm-hmm. Where do you live?
Kansas City, Kansas.
And you are visiting Los Angeles for spring break?
Yes, I am.
What is your favorite thing about Los Angeles?
I guess I like the nice weather, like all the palm trees, because it's been really cold back there.
I know, you're even wearing sandals.
Yeah, everybody's wearing, like, sweaters, and I'm wearing, like, short sleeves shoes. Like, it's really hot for me.
Well, it's because we're used to it being, like, a million degrees, and so when it dips into, like, 60 degrees, everyone here's like, oh! Okay. Dear Espy and Nicole, my upstairs neighbor is legitimately the worst. What are some creative ways to pretend like this man baby doesn't exist? Do you know what a man baby is?
No.
It's like probably a man that acts like a baby. Like a man that acts like a child man. Like someone who's unreasonable. And I imagine loud. That's what I imagine when I think of a neighbor being the worst.
Well, I guess you could try to ignore your neighbor or just, try your best to ignore them. And if you do have an encounter with him, just, try to be nice and not be mean.
Because, like, sometimes even if you feel annoyed with somebody, it doesn't pay off for you to be mean to them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because you're the one with the problem. You know, if you make it their problem, things are going to escalate. They're never, like, if you're mean to someone, they're never going to be like, oh my gosh, thank you so much for being mean to me. I had no idea how much I hurt you. I'm going to start being nicer in response to you being mean. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, you know, like if a dog tries to bite you, you're not like, most people are not like, oh my God, you must be so scared. Most people are like, ah, and run away. What would you do if they was really loud? If he was loud, I mean, what I would do is not instantly go to serenity and peace. What I would do is, like, complain to the landlord and maybe use a broomstick to put on the ceiling to be like, shut up! Or maybe have a talk with him, you know, or I have the reasonable talk where I'm like, it is so loud up there. Oh my gosh. I'm not sure if you knew. It's so loud. It feels like I'm underneath a stomp class. Or a river dancing class. And then if he didn't do anything or if he was a butthead about it, I think that I would get a white noise machine. I don't know. What else?
Invest in some earplugs or something like that. And, you know, maybe, like what she said, do those things, but maybe not, hit your roof or the ceiling with a broom. Yeah, maybe that's a little harsh. But
like maybe like yelling and screaming and saying, shut up! Shut up!
Yeah, it's a little harsh because sometimes they just can't do anything about it. They might just have like a problem or something.
The person who is subletting the apartment next door to mine, something is wrong with their feet because every time they walk, they stomp and I can hear it through the whole apartment and it makes me crazy. But then I realize if I play music or some kind of white noise in my apartment, I can't hear it as well. And so I feel less, you know, less like I'm keeping track of how heavy their feet land on the ground.
Yeah. And I mean, they might be going through something, so I think it's best to mind your own business. If it really gets out of hand, then maybe you can contact your landlord or something like that.
I have nothing against tattletales. When it comes to neighbors and landlords and roommates, I feel really great about tattling. Okay. What is your favorite book?
My favorite book is A Handful of Stars. It's about this girl. She has a blind dog, and she lives in Maine, so her blind dog takes off. And there's this girl that, she's part of, like, a migrant camp, and her family she's from Florida, and they go up to the corner of Maine to pick blueberries, and then they go back down, like, for the rest of the year. But the girl takes her lunch and leads the dog back to the girl, mm-hmm. and they become friends, and then they just go through all the challenges because the migrant families aren't normally with the other people that live mm-hmm. at the camp. I mean, at the village. So
cool. That sounds like, and you think every fifth grader should read this book?
Yeah.
I can't wait to read this book. Okay, we have more questions. My son is starting kindergarten next year. What do you remember about kindergarten? What advice would you give a kid about to start or his parents?
I don't remember much about kindergarten, but I do remember that everybody's, like, you know, too young to judge people about how they live and what kind of clothes they wear. So everyone is pretty much friends. And maybe for the parents, the kid is growing up and you don't have to, like, really, really baby the kid anymore. I mean, still kind of, like, be close to the kid, but don't, like, you know, have, like, too big of a deal that they're going to kindergarten. I mean, I don't care if you cry or something, but, you know, just don't make, you know, that big of a deal about it, because I remember that kind of embarrassed me when my parents did that.
Yeah.
So
don't embarrass your kids when they go to kindergarten.
Yeah, it just makes them even more nervous, because everybody's staring at you and your parents.
Because your parents are scream crying at the door, saying, "Don't go!" All right. I think that's pretty good advice. Let's see what else we have here. I forgot that I wanted to unroll the window a little bit. Is it easier to hem your own pants or take them to a tailor?
So my mom usually just hems them, you know, just like sews the edge a little bit. And we don't really take them anywhere to do that, you know, just a waste of money. We could just do it really fast. But I don't normally do things like that when I sew. I don't really sew clothes. I, like, sew pillows and things like that.
Yeah, I think you can hem your pants yourself. And if you have an iron, that really makes a difference. The iron, I think, makes a difference between whether it's a success or a failure when you're hemming clothes. Are macrame plant holders cool or not?
I think they're cool, like the designs of them and just how they can be really anything in any design or anything like that. I can't really, like, do macrame, but I do make friendship bracelets, which is just, like, you know, tying knots and making
mini macrame.
Yeah, pretty much, but with embroidery floss, so I can't really do things like that, so I just admire the work because, you know, I can't do it.
I think the macrame plant holders can be cool. It depends on your decor. If you have, like, a dorm room decor, then anything's going to make it look dormy. But if you have, like, a cool 70s thing going on, like maybe a mirrored wall or, you know, some kind of marbled glass, then go for it, for sure. All right. That said, I do not have any macrame plant holders because they seem hard to clean. That's my only question about them. What do I do if I see a coyote or mountain lion in the park with my dogs? I think you need to get your dogs out of there ASAP. I think they're different with a mountain lion. I think you're supposed to make yourself seem bigger. Like make yourself bigger and scary and screamy. But with a coyote, I don't remember if you're supposed to do that or just get out of there. So my dog is very small. I just pick her up and we just get out of there as soon as we can.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. Or, you know, you can always look at them online what exactly to do in that situation.
Yeah. Okay. Our next question is, what is the best trick to teach your pet? For me, the best trick is get away from me commands. So I'm like, Ponyo knows, go lay down, and get in the back seat. Because I like to have a lot of personal space, and I like to have areas of the home that are not covered in dog hair.
Yeah, that one's good. I think my favorite is, like, for my dog, like, she has this blue ball, and I'm like, just go get your blue ball, and then she goes and gets it. And I think it's cool, because they don't really see color. They just, like, know that it's called the blue ball, or the, you know, the purple Kong or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so they just know, and I think that's kind of cool.
That is a cool trick. And I like the Ponyo knows how to shake hands. I think that's a nice thing that she knows how to do. Dear SB, how do I get inspired to put away my clean clothes when I take them out of the dryer?
Oh, so I think what I think would be good is I just do it even though I don't like to do it. I just, you know, go and do it. But if you want it to be interesting, you could, like, set a timer for however many minutes, depending on the amount of clothes, and then you could just, like, if you get it done, like, before that time, you can go reward yourself with, like, a cupcake or something like that.
Mm-hmm. What was the other one you said? Like, you could pretend like you're a spy or something?
Yeah, so
we decided you could pretend like you're a spy, and you have to put away all your clothes in a short amount of time, because anything you leave behind will let the enemy know.
Like, well, so they know your secret identity, and then you could be beheaded if you don't do it quickly.
So, like, SB is talking high stakes. So low stakes, you get yourself a cupcake. High stakes, if you don't do it and your identity's found out, you will be beheaded. Just think about that next time you have to fold your laundry. I mean, I personally will put on a TV show and do it while I'm watching the TV show. I know that that's, like, a little bit less fun than all of those things.
Yeah, and you might get kind of distracted. But
no. Okay. Let's see. What is the next one? Do you believe in ghosts?
Ghosts are one of those things where I'll have to see one to believe it, but, you know, I kind of think they're there and really in existence, but then I kind of don't at the same time. But I know a lot of my friends, like, have, like, ghost stories that they tell, and they say they've really happened, but I don't know if it's just A, someone pranking them, or B, they're just making it up to get, you know, attention. But
kids kind of like to be scared, I remember. What is your favorite Girl Scout cookie? What is the best Girl Scout cookie in your opinion?
Oof. That was hard. I really like lemonades and Thin Mints.
I'm going to say a Thin Mint in the freezer is my favorite.
Oh, that's okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just like them all because they're all so different, yet all the same at the same time.
Do you have, what tips would you give other people who are selling something? Because you've been a Girl Scout and you've sold a lot of Girl Scout cookies. What do you think of when you, how do you approach people to sell them something?
Well, for one, you need to be, like, passionate about the cause or about the thing you're selling yourself, because, you know, you always, everyone always knows that you don't, like, really are passionate about it if you don't, like, sound convincing. So I think that's important, and then you have to have, like, a nice spiel, and then you need to, you can practice it, like, to your friend or in front of your mirror, and so you have something to say, like, every time you go up there, so it's just not, like, random. Mm-hmm. And then when people normally ask a lot of questions, so you have to be prepared to tell them about, like, what your cause is, what are you doing, like, and about, like, how I, when I sell girlfriend cookies, I'm sometimes, they ask what flavors there are, I say, like, what the flavors are and, like, a little description about them, you know, and so they really know. And when they ask me what my favorite flavor is, I just say, like, all of them, because I don't want them to just buy the one I like, you know, so they won't buy the other ones.
Do you ever lie and say, like, whatever one isn't selling well, you say that one? Where you're like, peanut butter, I don't know, I remember what they're called.
No, not really. I just try to stay truthful, you know, because sometimes, you know, you get caught lying. And
your friend goes, you hate that. You hate the Samoas. What are you talking about?
Yeah. And, you know, you just feel bad with yourselves, you know.
Not to be a Seinfeld, but have you ever noticed that I never try to sell you Blue Apron on the podcast? Or that we do not disparage and bemoan trips to the post office in favor of stamps.com? Well, it is because we have no advertisers. Zero. Producer Chris, producer Ponyo, and myself do this out of the goodness of our hearts, because we like it. If you would like to tip producer Chris Sutton, who dedicates hours to this series every week, please, 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 please send your tip of $5, $10, who knows how much, that's your business, via PayPal to hornetleg@gmail.com. That is hornet, like the insect, leg, like one of his appendages, @gmail.com. If you do this, we will read your name on the podcast. Isn't that exciting? We may have advertisers someday, and we'll rant and rave about free sex toys and mattresses and Blue Apron and whatever. But in the meantime, thank you. We appreciate your support, and I look forward to saying your name on the podcast. Producer Ponyo looks forward to it, too. That was Ponyo's voice. Don't be scared. Bye. Thank you this week to Shoshana Ruth Wechter, Mary Pinson, Christy Harrod, and Madeline Berger. I often stay up way too late, but I just can't seem to get to sleep. What's your advice for getting a good night's sleep when you're a night owl who needs to be up early in the morning?
So if, like, a sound distracts you, like your heater or something like that is buzzing and distracting you, you could, like, have a sound machine for white noise. Like, I know I have one, and it works really well. I go to sleep much quicker. It's like, you know, ocean sounds and rainforest sounds, stuff like that. And also, what helps me is, like, so if you're watching TV, you should try to limit that, like, 1 hour or around that, or around 1 hour before you want to go to sleep, because, you know, you just get, like, it kind of wakes you up and you can't really fall asleep.
No screen time an hour before bed.
Yeah.
Somebody else asked, what's it like to be a fifth grader during the time of the internet?
Well, I just like it because you can rely on internet instead of just having to go through a bunch of books. And it's really easy. I know for us, for our elementary school, we have iPads that we use, like, every day for most of our assignments are on there. And, I mean, they're really good, but there are some paper assignments, and it tends for people to, like, lose them, but, you know, we still have them. We still have a mix, and in middle school and high school, we get laptops, so those are...
Are you on social media?
No, I am not. My parents don't let me have a phone till 8th grade, but a lot of my friends have them. They got them in, like, 3rd or 4th grade.
That's crazy to me, the idea that you could be in 3rd grade and being like, hold on, I have to take this. Like, hello? Yeah, I'm with the babysitter right now. I'll have to call you back, Mom.
Yeah, but it's very strict that you can't have phones out in, like, school.
Yeah.
Unless you talk with the teacher that it's like an emergency, something like that. You really need to text your parent or something. But yeah, and you get in trouble if you have your phone out.
Do you wish you had social media, or are you glad that you don't?
I sometimes do, because sometimes it seems cool, like when my friends are on their phones and stuff. But some of my friends don't have phones, and they're going to get one in, like, sixth grade, but I have to wait till eighth grade, so...
I have to say, that's the kind of thing that seems like a bummer now, because you're like, my friends have it, come on, but, like, I don't know, when I look back at my life, yesterday, the day before, all through my life, when I think of my favorite moments from being alive, none of them are associated with using the phone. Mm-hmm. Like, the phone, I have, like, little bursts of oxytocin, which is, like, the chemical in your brain that, like, love provides this chemical called oxytocin. Like, when you feel really good, like, when someone's like, SB, good job sewing that thing, and you're like, thanks! You know, your brain is, like, flooded with this good chemical. Like, you get little buzzes of that from looking at your phone when people, like your Instagram post, or a lot of people are your friend. But that's not actually, like, my fondest memories of being alive. Like, when I'm on a walk with Ponyo, and I think back to, like, enjoying a walk, I'm never like, I loved looking at Instagram while I walked up that hill. I'm always like, I remember the hill. I remember the dog. I remember the weather. I remember the stuff around me or the humans around me. But I'm never like, it was so great checking Facebook on that beach. Oh, man, what a great place to check my email. So I have to say, don't. Once you go, it will start eating your life. So don't run. Run, walk, don't run towards social media. Do you have any last minute advice for any of my listeners?
Just, you know, be you. Don't let anybody take you down because you like a certain TV show or you wear a certain type of clothing. Just be strong and be you. And, you know, this also helps if you're being bullied or something like that to find what you like and your passion. Mm-hmm. Kind of takes your mind off those things or mm-hmm. stand up to the people that are being mean to you in your life.
It's true. It's true. Well, SB, thanks for being on the podcast.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Sagittarian Matters is produced by Chris Sutton, with assistance by Ponyo Georges. Our theme music is composed by Carolyn Pennypacker Riggs of the band Bouquet. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.